From the Lynn to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of March, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. We'll hear about tariffs from the Canadian side of the border as they think about what it means for that nation and the European Union. And then we'll discuss what Joanna Colucci and her colleague from Argentina saw in the way of crop prospects out of South America. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the marketplace, particularly beef cattle production and its usage of corn in the United States with Ben Brown. He's an agricultural economist at the University of Missouri, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn futures today settled at $4.61, up 2.5 cents. July at $4.70, 2.5 higher. In December at $4.54, up 3. May beans, $10.15.5, down a half. A settlement price there. July at $10.29.25, 3/4 lower. And new crop November, up a half at $10.18.5. Bean meal at $3.04.30, down $1.60. The bean oil at $42.10, 51 cents higher. Soft red winter wheat in the harvest month July, up 12 cents. A settlement at $5.85 a bushel. The hard red July at $6.17.75 finished 19 higher. Live cattle futures at $2.01.75, $1.72.5 higher. Feeders at $285.35, up $2.65, and lean hogs $99.12.5, up $2.82.5. Crude oil $67.37 a barrel, up 46 cents. ULSD, that's the diesel fuel or heating oil, at $2.16.6 a cent. That's up 3.1 cents. The wholesale price of gasoline today up 3.1 cents at $2.18.1 cent. The S&P 500 around 52 points higher, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 440 points. Kurt Kimmel is now here from agmarket.net out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss the marketplace. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, glad to be here on a St. Patrick's Day holiday here for the Irish.
Well, yeah, so it's a good day. And depending on what side of the market you're on, I suppose you might want to take advantage of it, possibly celebrate if you are hoping for the price of wheat to go higher. What was in that market today?
Yeah, we saw green clear across the board here early in the day. It was appropriate to do that. But yeah, wheat was the leader. Wheat will lead, hopefully, here for those wanting the market to move a little higher. It's a combination of things. World wheat weather here in the U.S., there's a little question about the plains forecast here as you watch the weather guys, that south-southwest continues to be a fire zone. Then when you look at the world weather maps, too, particularly in Ukraine and even in Russia, there's some question. But, you know, wheat has nine lives. I think also what we saw on the supportive side of wheat is talk of Russia will maybe cut or slow wheat exports. I believe this is to keep the domestic flour and bread prices low. So it might suggest that Russia wheat stocks might be dwindling a little bit, and they're pretty well sold up. So that gave the market some support. But here over the last few trading days, we've seen wheat kind of get the technical bulls on board here as that wheat market continues to make some higher highs here, and particularly taking out last week's highs there, Todd.
What are you watching at the end of this week? And then, of course, we have the acreage report next week, too.
Yeah, there's going to be some things coming at us. Today was kind of light volume. The commodity funds bought 4,200 wheat, 3,900 corn, and about 6,400 contracts of beans. I think people were kind of busy filling out the bracket, but towards the end of the week here, we'll probably really see volume slow down as the tournament takes place. I think there was somebody said that the volume's probably a little bit more slower during the first weekend of the March Madness versus a regular holiday. But we did see some news here on the crush. The NOPA crush report came in less than expected, 177.8 million beans being crushed versus analyst estimate of 188. Bean oil stocks a little higher than expected, 1.5 versus the average analyst guess about 1.46. So that's probably one of the first reports we've seen the crush kind of slow down a little bit. But when you look at kind of projecting the final numbers, which is a long ways away, our group feels that the crush is on pace to be about 2413 versus the current USD estimate of 2410. So it's kind of in target. The weekly export and shipments were solid. We shipped out 65 million bushels of corn and 23 million bushels of beans. So fundamentally, mixed reviews in through here. We've got weather in front of us. Producers are busy getting caught up, and we'll see how the weather guys fare here as we enter the prime part of the growing season here in a couple weeks, or if not 2 or 3 months from now.
Now I mentioned that the acreage report was due out not this week, but next week. But really, it is the Monday after that, so it's the third week out. But on the first day of that week, which is March the 31st, also the grain stocks numbers will be due that day. You mentioned producers getting ready to go. Dry conditions remain in the Western Corn Belt, parts of Missouri, Kansas. Are they likely to put more corn in the ground because of those dry conditions, do you suppose?
Well, that's a tough one. There's so many moving parts or different opinions. Kansas particularly, the milo, the sorghum market just fell apart, and just looking at basically going to corn there. When the ag market team was out in Denver for the Commodity Classic, just about every producer that came by was signaling a few more corn acres. I don't know if 94, 95 is right, but it might be 98, 99. Gosh, I mean, these guys are, we'll see what that brings. Traditionally, in the past, dry springs, you put in corn first and go, but actually, a lot of beans are going in now due to the dry conditions. But yes, we'll have some fine-tuned estimates here as we move a little further along in here. Corn's going to be a little heavy, beans a little light, but once we factor that, the thing that moves the bottom line the most, as everyone knows, is yield. What type of yield we put on it during the growing season.
Do we, speaking of yields, have any indications out of Argentina and Brazil how their yields are doing this year, for particularly for soybean out of Brazil?
Yeah, good. I can't give an exact number, but Brazil's what, 70% harvested versus 60% last week, 64%. But it's been fairly good. As we mentioned before, those earlier yields were phenomenal, but some of those yields were probably from test plots. And if you have a test plot, that test plot's always going to be good.
Indeed. Hey, thanks much. I appreciate you taking the time with us on this Monday. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
You bet. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media, online on demand at willag.org. Today's agricultural news: Canada and the European Union are implementing a dollar-for-dollar approach, placing 25% tariffs on U.S. imports. These countermeasures immediately followed tariffs leveled against all foreign steel and aluminum product imports by the Trump administration. Dennis Guy reports from Canada.
Canada and the European Union are implementing a dollar-for-dollar approach, placing 25% tariffs on U.S. imports. These countermeasures immediately followed tariffs leveled against all foreign steel and aluminum product imports by the Trump administration. For Canada, this second round of counter tariffs is in addition to $30 billion worth of imported U.S. goods imposed when sweeping U.S. tariffs on Canada took effect on March 4th. Canadian Finance Minister Dominic LeBlanc made this latest counter tariff announcement just hours after the U.S. tariffs were put on steel and aluminum products.
The Government of Canada will be imposing 25% reciprocal tariffs on an additional $29.8 billion of imports from the United States. These tariffs are in addition to Canada's 25% counter tariffs in response to U.S. tariffs put in place on March 4th. The government is currently assessing and may impose further tariffs to this measure as well.
At the same time, the European Union announced its own retaliatory tariffs with duties on U.S. industrial and agricultural products in response to Donald Trump's tariffs. Ursula von der Leyen, president of the European Commission, announced the EU counter-tariffs immediately upon the U.S. metals imposition.
The United States is applying a 25% tariff on imports of steel and aluminum. We are responding with countermeasures worth 26 billion euros. This matches the economic scope of the tariffs of the United States. Our countermeasures will be introduced in two steps, starting with April 1st and fully in place as of April 13th. In the meantime, we will remain open to negotiations.
Like Canada, the European Union is using a focused approach by targeting mostly Republican-held states, hitting soybeans in Louisiana, beef and poultry in Kansas and Nebraska, along with other Republican states including Alabama, Georgia, and Virginia, among others. Back in Ottawa, Finance Minister LeBlanc went on to assure Canadian businesses and workers that there are financial supports in place for what could be a long and chaotic trade war.
These are challenging, uncertain times for Canadian businesses and Canadian workers. That's why we've deployed Export Development Canada, the Business Development Bank of Canada, and Farm Credit Corporation to help business owners find new markets for their products and access financing to help affected businesses keep more employees on the payroll in the event of a slowdown.
President Trump said that Canada, the EU, and all other countries could be subject to new reciprocal tariffs effective April 2nd. Reporting from Canada, I'm Dennis Guy.
And I'm Tuck Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at willag.org, willag.org. Up next, the South American crop production picture is getting a little clearer as their summer growing season begins to wind down. Mike Davis reports on last week's FarmDoc webinar on the subject.
We got new numbers late last week via a University of Illinois FarmDoc webinar. Joanna Calusi provided an update on what promises to be a record corn crop in Brazil.
We are seeing mixed results across regions. In the south, drought has negatively impacted yields, but has been offset by excellent yields in the center-west, where conditions have been much more favorable. Overall, Brazil is still on track for a record-breaking soybean crop, expected to surpass 6 billion bushels.
The Brazilian soy crop yield was adjusted as well.
The numbers were revised up a little bit compared to the last month's report due to good yields in most regions of Brazil, bringing the forecast to over 6.1 billion bushels, a 13% increase from last year. It's also worth noting that CONAB's estimate is quite conservative compared to private consultancies, which are estimating between 6.2 and even 6.4 billion bushels.
Silvina Cabrini of the National Institute of Ag Technology in Argentina provided an update on the current crop season there, starting with a disappointing report on corn.
The expected production for this current crop year is 1,929 million bushels. This value is lower than last year and lower than the average. And this is mainly because of the decreasing planted area.
But she says Argentina soy is holding steady.
Expected production for this current crop year is 1,822 million bushels. So this is similar to previous year. We have a higher acreage, but then lower yields are expected for soybeans. So we end up having more or less the same forecast production than the year before.
I'm Mike Davis.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Ben Brown. He's at the University of Missouri with FAPRI, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute there. And Extension, thanks, Ben, for being with us. Have you finished up your winter meeting season yet?
I got three this week, and then I think we're on the downhill stretch. Of course, this time of year, you start to notice producer attendance starts to decline as the days get nicer. So I think we're just about there. And I enjoy these, don't get me wrong. I enjoy these, but about mid-March, I'm pretty wiped. And so I'm ready for a little bit of a nice little break here before my family starts planting corn this spring. So
yeah, the farmers are the same way there. I can go see Ben Brown today, or I could pull the planter out and get it all greased up and ready for going to
fields. Producer attendance really starts to decline this time of year.
Yeah, so what did you tell them last week?
Well, so my presentation, especially in Missouri, always focuses on both crops and livestock. We have a lot of cattle, especially cow-calf operations across Missouri. So even if you're talking to a row crop audience, there's always, half of them at least that have cattle as well. So we spent a little bit of time talking about row crop market outlooks, but there's a lot of questions right now related to the cattle industry. Quite a few people are nervous that, some of the consumer and macroeconomic signals are starting to decline, and that could have an impact on meat prices. There's also a concern about the international markets. This week in the headlines was about the Chinese government not renewing license for U.S. meat export facilities and what that could mean for meat prices. So I'd have to say that last week I spent more time talking about the livestock sector and meat sector than I did the crops, just because that seems to be where the biggest concern is coming. Of course, there's also a lot of concerns around what trade and tariffs could mean for U.S. crop markets in the short term as well. But a lot of questions about the macroeconomy.
Are you talking about herd sizes of 25 beef cattle or less, 50 beef cattle or less? How are they relatively small?
Well, we have kind of a big range in Missouri. I would say the majority of the producers I saw last week have somewhere in that 100 to 150 cow calf pair range, 200 cow calf pairs, all the way up to 300-400 cow calfs would probably be the range that I was speaking to last week.
For beef cattle in Illinois, the trend, even in southern Illinois, where it's much more diverse or has been, and far more like Missouri, I believe, the beef cattle numbers have dropped dramatically. Part of that is that those who have historically been in the beef cattle operations have retired or have gotten out. So the trend is just for them not to be replaced. Are you seeing the same thing?
In parts of Missouri, yes. So Southwest Missouri has a lot of beef cattle. Southwest Missouri is where we also had kind of 3 years of intense and then sneaky drought is what I would call it. Last year we had some late season dryness that impacted the row crops. Well, that also caused a lot of cattle producers to start feeding hay in September and October across Missouri. So drought has had a big impact in Missouri, just lack of forage availability for livestock, not enough pond water. That's had a big impact. I would also say we are seeing some shifts in demographics. That's playing out in the data. Producers are choosing this as an opportunity to sell out, take advantage of high cattle prices, sell out, and those cows are going down the road to a different operation. Well, actually, I take that back. A lot of the cows are entering up in processing facilities. The coal cow market is running pretty high. But if those cows are still productive and still got quite a few calf birthing years left on them, they're going down the road to another farm, and that farm is choosing to expand. So we are seeing some demographic changes like that. But I think the biggest question is, and this is the question I get asked almost every meeting, is how can I justify it expanding when a calf is bringing what it is today, and the uncertainty around will it calve? Will that heifer calf actually have a calf? And what will the price of that heifer calf be? So there's a lot of cautious optimism around beef cattle markets and a lot of concern around, you know, just pulling the trigger and expanding today.
So when you roll all of this into feed usage from the beef cattle side, are your expectations that it will remain strong?
Yes. You know, so we or at least as I think about feed use and total grain consuming animal units, you know, we do see smaller grain consuming animal units, a smaller beef herd being a primary driver of that, you know, in the short term, poultry liquidation due to the avian flu, you know, that's also driving smaller grain consuming animal units as well. The thing that, you know, really helped the grain sector in 2024 is we were feeding the cattle that we did have a lot heavier. And so we were losing some feed efficiency on the top end of those cattle. You know, it takes more grain to feed a pound when a calf weighs 1,300-1,400 pounds than when it weighs 800-900 pounds. And so we were using a lot of grain. You know, as I think we look at the complex, I think corn's got some challenges in the feed bunk, certainly from the grain sorghum side of the equation, a lot of grain sorghum being fed. I also think wheat is going to compete with corn in the feed bunk as well. So overall, maybe feed consumption declines just a little bit. You know, the economics are still there to feed these cattle heavier. But overall, I think the grain consumption declines a little bit, but it could be, you know, quite a bit of changes within products, corn away from corn to grain sorghum and wheat, maybe.
How do you see the soybean market at this point, just transitioning some? And I suppose part of that will be meal for the poultry and pork sectors.
Sure. So we have seen, you know, meal prices kind of come back up. It's ebbed and flowed, but we have seen meal prices kind of trend, I'm going to say, somewhat higher. They were up $10 per short ton this last week to trade above $300 a short ton again. So, and that's on the futures market. And so I think meal is seeing a nice little rally here as oilseed crush facilities slow down some. Lack of guidance around biofuel policy has kind of slowed down that crushing. And so that's going to tighten that meal market up a little bit. And then certainly as I look out ahead, I think the biggest thing probably going to drive the soybean market is, and it's a bullish factor, is declining soybean planted acres, especially in the Western Corn Belt. You know, you look at the next month of weather, and we're going to trend warm and dry, and that tends to really encourage corn planting, and so we'll probably shift some soybean acres to corn here over the next month, and that should provide a little bit of a bullish spark for new crop soybeans.
Thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Ben Brown is an agricultural economist at the University of Missouri. He's with Extension and the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.